Genesis 22. And we read from verse 3. Genesis 22 and verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went, both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. May God bless to us those wonderful verses of Holy Scripture. In our study of the book of Genesis, we have been some few weeks in this 22nd chapter. We return to it again tonight. Our sermon last Sunday evening, you will remember, was based upon the opening clause of verse 3. And Abraham arose early in the morning. Prompt action, we saw. Unquestioning obedience. We looked into the nature of this test to which God subjected him. And there were certain valid questions, one said, human life. What about the divine promises, which were all centered in this young man, who as yet was unmarried, therefore had no seed? If he be slain, was not the only lifeline severed? These matters we examined from the Scriptures. And we also saw that which was the motivating force behind Abraham's swift and prompt action, given to us in the New Testament. Faith. Faith. Primarily, it was not submission, it was not obedience. Primarily, it was faith. And upon this note, you will remember, we concluded, applying the lessons to our own hearts, that growth in grace and in knowledge, more often than not, will bring the accompanying tests of faith, which will increase in severity as we mature. And this we are not to think strange, says Peter in his epistle. For they are enlarged opportunities. Oh, how this ties in with our New Testament studies on Thursday evenings on the prayers of Paul. These are enlarged opportunities afforded by God to prove the reality of our faith. and of our trust in him. Such trials, states the Spirit of God, we are to view not as tedious. We are to view them as more precious than gold. A very necessary word to us all, I am sure. Now let us proceed. I want to look at the remaining part of verse 3 and couple it with verse 6, because it is all part of the same detail. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. That was last week's sermon. Now we continue. He saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac, his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went, both of them, together. Could the most sensational drama depict a more terrorizing scene? What words could be penned to convey a more horrific incident? Here is a man up early in the morning. He leaves his tent. He picks up his axe. He goes to his woodpile. He faggots his brushwood. He claves and splits the larger timbers. With what object? With what object? To consume his one and only son. But look at him. There appears to be no reluctance. He slings his axe with vigor. He binds his faggots with firm hand. Rather than show any hesitation, his actions are marked by determination. His preparation is obviously cool and calculated. And having prepared the fuel, he saddles his ass. More clearly put, he girded the ass. By that is meant, he harnessed it with panniers, in all probability to transport the split logs, for a considerable amount of wood was required for such an operation as this. And then he rouses his servants. He calls them. And Isaac, his son. Could words possibly give a more vivid picture? What resolve is portrayed here? Unflinching determination. Yes, beloved. But let none think that it was stoical action, that this father was devoid of all feeling or emotion. Oh, remember and recall our sermon of a week or so ago. Thy son, thine only son, Isaac. Go back to his birth. We remember the meaning of his name. Isaac. Laughter. Not in a derisive sense. But laughter in the sense of joyous emotion. Thy son. Thine only son. Isaac. Whose name is laughter. The one in whom your heart rejoices. the supreme object of your delight, whom thou lovest. And that father now rouses this delightful young character. And already the preparations had been made. All was planned, necessarily ordered. Can any parent even try to imagine the deep surgings of emotion of that man's heart in those early morning hours? He calls his servant, then Isaac. Can you imagine? He calls in that encampment, Isaac, Isaac. Did the name mean laughter and joy that day? And Isaac arose. No delay on his part either. The father's call, the father's will, was accepted without question. Verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went, both of them, together. Abraham took the wood. Most probably this would have been the faggot of brushwood, that which would kindle the initial flames. And he laid this upon Isaac. Then he takes the fire, the ashes and embers of their campfire would be stirred and raked over, and the red hot coals would be scooped up and placed in a container, a censer type of vessel, a small lattice iron bowl, if you like, which in all probability would be suspended on three chains with a handle. And in this censer, those coals would glow and keep alive. These Abraham, the father, picks up. And the knife. The means of destruction, the fire and the knife, are in the hands of the father. And they went, both of them together. What a mission. What a mission. In all the annals of history, nothing like this has ever been recorded of a father and son. Never. This was unique. Beloved, it was indeed. It was unique. It has no parallel in human history. I say no parallel in human history. Verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Isaac spake and said, My father. Oh, could a sharper instrument have been forged and plunged into the heart of a man who was already wounded beyond description? Breaking the silence of this emotive journey are these words, My father. Yet we see that this holy man sustains even this with invincible courage. No sentiment can turn him aside from the course upon which they're set. But where is the Lamb? This was the question of all questions. Where was the victim in this case? Where was the victim in this case? At his father's very side, carrying the wood. There he was. What could that father say? Verse 8. And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went, both of them together. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. At a human level, a kind and a considerate reply. An answer which was also marked by a strong and unwavering faith. But it also had unmistakable overtones of something infinitely more meaningful. Having given us this little glimpse into the only recorded words spoken between father and son, I say the only recorded words spoken between father and son for the whole of the 3 days' journey. The Holy Spirit records again, they went both of them together. This is the operative statement of the whole thing. The Holy Spirit is far more intent in impressing upon us this thought rather than any conversation which took place. And this is the only little glimpse of exchange of conversation which we are given. But it's impressed upon us, they went both of them together. Absolute harmony. Verse 9. And they came to the place. They came to the place. A spot located by God. Moriah. We looked briefly at this a fortnight ago. In fact, we looked at it in some detail. A spot located by God, Moriah. And Abraham built an altar. Abraham built an altar. The father built that altar. All the necessary detail for such an event meticulously carried out and arranged. And then Isaac was bound and laid upon that altar. Now, whilst the Holy Spirit records no conversation between father and son over those 3 days, other than those few words which we have considered, there doubtless was much more said. For when we come to this verse, verse 9, we must remember that the one termed the lad was somewhere around 20 years of age, quite capable of physically overpowering his aged father, who was at least 120 years. The operative words, I say again, in this whole incident, is that clause twice repeated. they went both of them together. Although God has not revealed the conversation, there has been mutual agreement somewhere along the line. There has been mutual agreement, and Isaac was fully resigned to his father's will and actions. So he is bound by Abraham and laid upon the altar. Verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The knife carried those many hours, 70 hours at least. That knife carried those many hours in the father's hand now comes into action. What an incident to be recorded in the Word of God. Unique, we have said. Nothing ever to match this. What can be the meaning of it all? As in so much of the Old Testament, whilst it is authentic history, this actually happened on Moriah's Mount. It is authentic history. But as is so much contained in Old Testament truth, there is profound spiritual significance. And whilst this happening has no parallel in human history, it has in eternal history. It has a parallel there. What then is it? Nothing other than the eternal purpose. The outworking of the great scheme of redemption. It's pictured in this unparalleled incident. And it takes us back to the boardroom of deity. The ordered and determined counsel and preparation of God in a sacrifice. Yes, and a human sacrifice, as we were considering the week before last. The only intimation, we've gone thoroughly through the Levitical offerings. This is the only place in Scripture, as far as I am aware, the only place in the Old Testament, wherever God hinted at the fact that in the ultimate he required a human sacrifice. This incident takes us back to the calm, calculated counsel of God, preparing a sacrifice, a human sacrifice. It was a thing which emanated from the Father, yet in it too the Son concurred. And as Abraham is seen early in the morning, note the words. The scriptures are so graphic, they're so explicit. He's seen early in the morning. No one else was about. No one else was about. They weren't there. Takes us back to the solitary majesty of the eternal God, who is without beginning, without end, and before time or matter existed, as early as that, preparation was being made. Abraham is seen early in the morning, claving the wood, saddling the ass, calling his son. So are we to see God the Father, before the foundation of the world, calculating with holy calm and divine wisdom a sacrifice which would completely and entirely put away sin for all for whom it was made. And such a sacrifice would involve none other than his only begotten Son. Son, the second person in the Godhead, who dwelt, states the scripture, in the bosom of the Father, the place of deepest affection, all depicted in those words, Isaac, thine only son, whom thou lovest. So in the early hours, Isaac was called. Before ever hours existed, the Son of God was called. In a bygone eternity, the Son, in the bosom of the Father, was summoned for sacrifice and viewed as the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. This in absolute harmony, oh, in absolute harmony, and with an immutable determination, which is peculiar only to deity. After being summoned, they went, both of them together. I say, in absolute harmony, with a determination peculiar only to deity. They went, both of them, Father and Son, from all eternity, going together. The goal is in view, but it's ever before them. Before them, before ever time or matter was created, before a planet spun in space, before a spirit being hymned his praise, they were going, both of them together, as ever before. Then at creation, when all things were brought into being, at creation, they moved into time. Father and Son, they moved into time. And all through human history, as recorded in the Old Testament, varying aspects of this eternal scheme are depicted. We've been going through them. As they move into time, I say varying aspects of this great eternal scheme are set forth. And then we come to Bethlehem. And then the place came more clearly into focus. Yes, it could be seen afar off. Not 3 days' journey. About 32 years' journey. But it's in focus. And it can be seen afar off from Bethlehem. Definitely now in view. The final stages of the journey planned so long ago. Final stages of the journey are now being taken. And both are still in absolute harmony. The heavens open. A voice is heard. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Son reciprocates. He's heard to say, I delight to do thy will, O God. I came not to do mine own will. In Gethsemane, the place once afar off was now immediately before him. Still he says, not my will, but thine be done. So are they seen to go, both of them together. But all the way, the Father carries the fire and the knife. The Son, too, bears the wood. carried it from the very commencement. And just as very little is recorded of the conversation between Abraham and Isaac, so too, very little is revealed to us of the prayer life of our Lord. I've just brought to you a few instances of communications from heaven to earth and from earth to heaven on the part of the Father of the Son. But there is very little revealed to us. You know, if all the Savior's utterances to his Father in prayer, as recorded in the Gospels, were put together, it would not occupy but a few pages of our Bibles. Yet we are told this, that he often spent whole nights in communion with his Father. And Genesis 22 even portrays this privacy. Nothing is revealed to us other than these few words of which I've referred between the Father and the Son. But there was much more, as the whole incident must reveal. And so with the Lord, very little is recorded of that which transpired in hallowed conversation between the Father and the Son. But I say, whole nights were spent in communion. We are not told what was said. "Where is the lamb?" asked Isaac. "At the Father's side." There he was. So it was in Bethlehem, Nazareth, Galilee. He was the Lamb of God's providing. In Bethabara, John the Baptist identified him. "Behold," he says, "the Lamb of God." Around the year A.D. 33, the time and the place are arrived at. All that the Father had planned and ordered is now to be effected. How reads Acts 22 and verse 23? "Christ was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God." Verse 27, "For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel, were gathered together at the place," all on stage, "for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." John writes, and he is the Son, and he, bearing his cross, went forth. The Son carrying the wood in very truth. Luke writes, "And when they were come to the place, there they crucified him." Calvary. The place appointed. Divinely located. Surely that is the most sacred spot of soil upon Earth's planet. Calvary. And every detail of that event was ordered of God. Every detail of it. On Moriah's Mount, Abraham built the altar. He arranged it all. On Golgotha's Hill, God was in sovereign control, and all was according to his ordering. And Abraham bound Isaac, his son, laid him upon the altar. Romans 8:32. God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Isaiah 53:10. It pleased Jehovah to bruise him. Please the Father. He hath put him to grief. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife. The Father. Zechariah 13:7. The Father is heard to speak. Having bound his son to an accursed tree. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, with whom we've gone together. Awake, O sword, against him. It's my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts, smite the shepherd. God the Father made him to be sin for us. He laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Abraham carried those means of destruction, the fire and the knife. At Calvary, God the Father unleashed the fires of the sinner's hell to envelop his only son, whom he loved. And as he plunged the knife of death into the holy bosom of his only begotten. The son cries at last, thou hast brought me. The knife has been plunged. And as he dies, he says, thou hast brought me into the dust of death. What did we sing? Jehovah bade his sword awake. O Christ, it woke against thee. Thy blood, the flaming blade, must slake. Thy heart, its sheath, must be. All for my sake. My peace to make. Now sleeps that sword for me. Here I break off. Could one ever exhaust this wonderful theme? Next week, God willing, we shall go further. May the word thus preached be a blessing to all that hear it for God's glory. Amen. Hymn number 746. 746. Stricken, smitten, and afflicted. See him dying on the tree. 'Tis the Christ by man rejected. Yes, my soul, 'tis he. 'Tis he. Oh, let's sing this with feeling and from the heart to God's glory. 746.
To save.
Disperse now and go to our homes. We first would return thanks to thee for thy goodness to us, for thy word which has been before us, with all its solemn and sacred meaning. We pray that its effects upon us this day may be lasting. May they be the joy and rejoicing of our hearts, not only in the coming week, but all our days. Go with us as we go into our respective family circles, with all their joys, with all their sorrows. Those that have problems, those that have anxieties, amongst their loved ones, undertake whatever that need may be. Watch over us, our God. Guard and protect us until we are brought together again. And we pray that the God of peace, which passeth all understanding, may keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.